Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts would be good and pleasing in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what are you afraid of? What is it that keeps you up at night? And what is it that wakes you early in the morning when you can't get back to sleep? Things like a pandemic remind me that I can't control my world. Sometimes I can't even control my health. And when I feel out of control, it freaks me out. And the problem is that when we're driven by fear, we make crazy decisions. Decisions such as buying 3 shopping carts at Costco filled with toilet paper, paper towels, and hand sanitizer because we're afraid we're going to run out. In our reading today, we see a very similar story. Back in the book of Mark, chapter 4, we see that Jesus sends his disciples out. Jesus basically kicks them out of the nest and tells them to go do ministry on their own. And then the apostles come back to Jesus, and they seem so excited. They're almost like kids coming back from summer break. And I love it because they're telling Jesus about their summer vacations, if you will. And I can imagine and hear them saying, "Jesus, I healed this guy, and I preached this sermon, and we went to this town, and we met this person, and you'll never believe the crazy thing that happened next. It was amazing." All the while, I can imagine Jesus with a knowing smile, like a father listening to his first grader who just came home from summer camp. You don't say. A broken arm, you say. Oh, and he had a demon. Oh, no, his mother-in-law had a demon. Oh, no, that's just his mother-in-law's personality. Oh, okay, you don't say. And then it's like Jesus realizes, "Hey guys, we've been so busy working. We've been so busy catching up and talking. We haven't even had time for lunch. So why don't we go and get in the boat and get away for a couple of days and get some rest? Let's go on a leadership retreat and reset the batteries." In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus says, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place so we can rest a while." So they get in the boat and they head off. And the amazing thing is, somehow everyone in the region knows that Jesus is there. His reputation has preceded him. And everyone runs on foot from all of the towns and got there ahead of them, the Bible says. And when they got ashore, Jesus saw a great crowd. And the first thing we see that Jesus does is he loves them. Notice what it says. It says, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And it's at that moment that Jesus decides to put this leadership retreat on hold, and he began to teach them many things. So we see the people, at the very mention that Jesus is in the area, they travel without mass transportation of any kind. In droves, they go and see and hear him. They go out to the middle of nowhere, to this desolate place. But why were they willing to go to such great lengths to see and to hear Jesus? As I read through this text today, it tells me a lot of things about the people and the culture and what was going on. It tells me that the people of that day were hungry. They were hungry for leadership. They were hungry for protection. They were hungry for truth. They were hungry to find and hear from God. They were hungry for hope and life, which at that time was in a short supply. They were hungry for meaning. And they were so hungry for meaning and searching for anyone and anything that could provide that meaning and feed them that they went out to see Jesus on this day. Sounds kind of like our world today, doesn't it? Over the last year, many gathered for movements, causes, and leaders that they hoped would give them meaning and feed that emptiness that was inside. In many ways, we see that our world has turned its back on God over the years, but yet, at the same time, our world still seeks guidance. Our world is still looking for godly wisdom. Our world is still looking to fill that God-shaped hole. Our world are like sheep without a shepherd as well. And I don't know about you, I can only speak for myself, but I know that for me, last year, I was afraid of doing the wrong thing. I was afraid of going out and getting my 7-year-old sick or hurting my incredibly at-risk hospice patients that I visited throughout the day if I didn't wear full PPE, masks, goggles, gloves, and everything when I went in to visit them. I was afraid of getting yelled at by someone when I went to the grocery store. I spent a lot of last year afraid. And back in March, we had more questions than we had answers in 2020. And even though I'm not one who has ever really watched the news in my lifetime, I found that I watched the news day and night. Because like the people in Jesus' day, I was hungry. I was hungry for information. I was so afraid that I was seeking out scientists, politicians, gurus, news outlets, and experts to lead me. In fact, we see that I wasn't alone. It was such a big deal in our world that they called it death scrolling. People became severely depressed because social media and the news were feeding our fear. The second thing we see is that not only did Jesus have compassion upon them, but he feeds them. And here's where the story gets exciting. Because the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Hey, Jesus, we got a problem. You need to send the people away because we still haven't had any lunch yet. Remember, you told us we were going to have lunch and Denny's is getting ready to close. And since it's Sunday, Chick-fil-A isn't even open today. So Jesus, we got to get everyone out of here so we can go get our dinner and we can start the leadership retreat." And I love what Jesus says. He says, "You guys give them something to eat." And I almost see Jesus saying it sort of playfully, like maybe like a teacher to his students. You know how it is when a teacher asks a student a question that he knows they are going to struggle with and it's going to grow them and challenge them. And we all know the heart palpitations that come when a teacher calls on us and we don't have the answer. It's almost like Jesus saying, "So guys, I just sent you out to do miracles in my name, and you went out and you did, and you healed the sick, and you preached all these sermons, you did all these amazing things, and you came back excited about what you saw and how you saw the Holy Spirit working through you. So guess what? Here's your next lesson. You feed them." And the disciples look around, and they see the 5,000 families there. And they're like, "What? Do we look like we have a catering service? I mean, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed these people?" Actually, they say in Mark 6:37, it says, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" That's 200 days' wages. That's over half a year's worth of salary that they would need. And as they look around at this crowd, and they see the insurmountable odds, they realize that they are overmatched, outnumbered, and overwhelmed. Then Jesus says to them, "So how many loaves do you guys have?" So they go and look around and they search and they're finding it. And they say, "Well, we have 5, but we also have 2 fish, Jesus." Still realizing that, "Oh man, we barely have a Long John Silver's family meal here in our hands. What are we going to do with all these people?" And then Jesus has them sit down in groups of 50s and hundreds. And he takes the bread and he takes the fish and he offers it before God and he gives it to the people and he divides it among them all. And Mark 6:42-43 says, they all ate and were satisfied. It's almost like they all went to a buffet and they ate until they were full. And they took up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and of the fish. In fact, one pastor I heard preach a sermon on this recently, he said that he thinks Jesus made sure that there were 12 baskets full of leftovers so that each disciple had a doggy bag to take home to remember the experience. But he also wants us to remember that experience as well. And so today I have a few takeaways from this story on how we can live lives of faith over fear in our own lives. And the first takeaway I want you to note is that it's Jesus who provides. Jesus gives in abundance. You see, Jesus didn't need the bread or the fish to feed his people, but he asked them for it, for their blessing, not because of his need. Jesus is the creator of the universe. He could have called out bread or fish out of nothing. But he asked for it so that the apostles and so that you and I could grow in our trust in him as well when we see him fulfill his promise and provide. The second thing we have to take away from this message is that we have to let go. We have to let go. We have to let go of our own control. We have to let go of those things that bind us, those things that we want to hold on to in order to keep our lives safe and healthy and happy and easy and comfortable. We have to let go of those things. We have to give them to God and let him use them. You see, the disciples had to come to that realization. That's why Jesus told them to feed the people, because he wanted them to come to the realization that they didn't have all the answers. He wanted them to come to the realization that they needed to come to Jesus and let him do the work. And when they discovered the loaves and the fish, you know, the disciples, they could have taken it and ate that meal for themselves, and they could have made a few sandwiches and taken care of their stomachs and their needs. But if they had taken control back from Jesus, they never would have been a part of the miracle that Jesus was doing in providing for 5,000 families, men, women, and children around them. And we have to let go of control as well. We have to let go of our fears and let God take those things that haunt us and hold us back. The third thing we have to do is we have to give it to God. We can't just let go. I mean, we can't just say, hey, I'm letting go of this, so it's out in the ether now. We have to actually do something with it. We have to give it to God. And here's where the discipleship, the practice comes in. We have to give it to God by going to God in prayer and in his word and in time of meditation and reflection, because it doesn't just happen by osmosis. I want you to notice a few things here as we look at these verses again. First, we look at verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then we jump ahead a few verses to verse 39. He commanded them to eat. Where? On the green grass. Now, something interesting as I was going through this message here the last few weeks, this is one of the few stories and accounts that is in all four Gospels. All four Gospels talk about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And one of the most amazing things is that all four Gospels describe where they were as having green grass. Now you think, okay, they were in a pasture, no big deal. But remember earlier what Jesus said in the book of Mark. When he invited the disciples away, what did he tell them? He said, let's go away to a desolate place. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I think of desolate places and desolate periods of my life, I think of monochromatic, dry, drab, arid, harsh, colorless places in life. But notice that when Jesus is present, and this is the point, when Jesus is present, there is color, life, and hope. Finally, look at verse 42 and 43. It says, they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Now, let's put those three pieces that I just brought up together. Sheep without a shepherd, green grass, and abundance. Let's see if we can think of another shepherd, shall we? Maybe there's another shepherd that you've heard of or you know of who makes us lie down in green grass or green pastures. A shepherd who leads us beside the still waters. A shepherd who sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and with whom my cup, or if you want to say my baskets of bread and fish, overflows to abundance. John chapter 10 says that Jesus is our good shepherd who lays down his own life for his sheep. And he feeds us with the bread of life in his word and his body and his blood. And the Gospel of Mark wants us to know is that as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he wants us to fear no evil because Jesus is the shepherd of Psalm 23. He is with us, protecting and comforting us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our fear and our enemies. He anoints our head with oil, and our cup overflows to outrageous proportions. And his goodness and mercy follow us and protect us wherever we go. So when we give it to God, we don't just give it to God. We take it to that shepherd. We take it to the shepherd of Psalm 23, and we feast upon his goodness. And we take his word in, which is the bread of life. And we gather here in his house where we can receive Holy Communion and the fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the last point is that we see today is that we have to go back to him. You see, I always say it, but discipleship is a process, not an event. It's not something you can do today or tomorrow. It's not something you say, hey, God, I'm afraid. I've got all of this stuff piling up in my life. I've got so much going on at work and in my personal and family life. I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to go to church this Sunday. I'm going to say a couple of prayers, and I'll get it up there, and it'll be off my shoulders, and I'll be good, and I can walk away. Trust me, I've tried that, and it doesn't work. You see, discipleship is a daily walk with God. It's a process. For me, it's a process in which I have to daily meditate, daily pray, daily speak things to God and give things to God verbally and silently in my heart, and daily or weekly be in worship. And as I imagine the scene, now this is me, you know, imagining, because it's not in scripture this way, but as I imagine the scene in Mark chapter 6, I see the disciples, and here they are, they realize they don't have anything, and Jesus breaks the bread, and he comes up, and he gives them a piece of the bread, and I see the disciples go to Jesus, and he hands them a handful of bread, or, you know, because there was not even enough for a loaf for each of them, and he hands them a piece of bread, and he says, okay, guys, go feed the people, go feed the masses, and I see the apostles, they take what's in their hands, and they walk up to that first person, and they probably look, and there's thousands of people behind that first person, and their hearts probably sink at the overwhelming responsibility. And they say, okay, and they probably try and break the bread as small as they can, and they give it to this person, and then this person, and this person, and then they give it to this person. Like, hey, don't take too much. It's got to feed everyone. You see how much I have here? And then they feed it to the next person, and they feed it to the next person. And eventually, as they get down the first line of people, they've given it all out. And their hands are empty. And as I imagine the scene, I imagine that the disciples probably, if they're anything like me, they assume they did something wrong. They assume that they failed. They assume that they didn't pray enough, or they didn't fix it, or they didn't spare enough for all the people, or they didn't get Jesus' message or what he was trying to teach them. And so they somehow messed it up. And I imagine that as they are wondering, okay, now what do I do? I've given all I can out. I've given all I have. And hopelessly, I imagine they turn back to Jesus and they're about ready to go shrug their shoulders and say, hey, what do you want me to do now, Lord? I don't know. I did what I could do. And as they turn around, they see Jesus and they're dumbfounded because there standing in front of them is Jesus holding out another loaf and another fish, saying, come, come here, come and take it. And they can stay there feeling dejected, feeling lost, feeling afraid, feeling worthless, or they can come to Jesus and he can give it to them. And what I see the disciples all had to do is they all had to get to that point in which they come to Jesus and they go back to the crowd and give out what they had in their hands, and then they come back to Jesus, and then they go back to the crowd and give out what they had in their hands, and then they come back to Jesus, and they don't even know why it's happening or how it's happening or what's happening, but what they know is as long as they keep going back to Jesus, they'll have what they need. And that's what Jesus is telling us today. That's what Jesus tells us every day. He says, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Trust me. Receive from me. And come to me. And know that I will take care of you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we come to you, as we let go of those things that burden us, as we let go of those things that cause us fear, I pray that the peace that passes all human understanding would keep and guard all of our hearts and all of our minds on you, Christ Jesus. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.